Okay, sorry to throw that. So let's go ahead and do the chorus again, but we'll leave it. We'll leave it as the, what I wrote. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Yeah, it doesn't, but I guess we can leave it. Let's leave it suspended. The only other thing I wanted to ask you guys about is at the end of second service. At this point, I have "You Are My Strength." So just verse one at the closing of second service. So we end up not doing the stand, so that will be pulled for second service. And I have "You Are My Strength," verse one, chorus, chorus, verse one, verse two, at the end. Are you guys okay with that? Verse one, chorus, verse one, verse two. So kind of the same that we did, Raul, when we played it. We can all come in on verse one and the chorus pretty strong, but after we play that chorus the first time, you're gonna drop out. We'll do verse one and two basically on our own. Yeah, just like the ending of the first time. Are you guys okay with that? Okay. I think it was brief, but it was good. All right, I gotta run and see what choir's doing. They've probably already done their thing, but that's okay. Does anybody have any questions about the order? So, "Your Love Never Fails," and "The Stand," and "You Are My Strength," and "Great Are You, Lord." Okay, see you in a bit.
Thank you.
I think we're about ready to start here. So if you can make your way back to your seat. And we'll begin worship here. So last night, I was looking for some songs on YouTube, and I was kind of playing around on my computer, and I got this phone call, and our worship leader who was supposed to be here today has the flu. That's Ula, if anybody knows Ula. So Ula's got the flu. So this was probably, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, surprise! I'm here. And it's totally a God thing, too, because two of the songs that Ula picked out for the service, we did on the Friday night praise and worship prayer night. So, it's just kind of how that works, right? So he was planning for me to do this all along. I just didn't know it until yesterday. Anyway, so if we could all stand and we'll open with a word of prayer and then we'll begin. So thank you, Lord, for your timing and your plan for all of us, Lord. We just appreciate that it's all perfect when it comes from you. And we thank you that you are here with us. We are gathered together, and we know that when we are, you are here with us, Lord. And we just ask your blessing on the service, and we lift our praises and our worship to you, and we hope that it honors you. And we ask that everything that is said here, the pastor and the missions and everything that is spoken, be honoring to you, and help us in our walk to be closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Joy comes in the morning.
That is the anchor of the life of any Christ follower, to know that God loves us and that His love never fails. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. And we come to worship Him today on this Palm Sunday as we enter into Holy Week. We're so glad that you're here. I see your smiling faces. It's awesome to see you all. We have a gift for you if you're a guest. We have this travel cup. We'd love to give it to you at the end of the service in the lobby area at the back. Please fill out this welcome card and we'll exchange that. And if you're joining us online via live stream, welcome. And we trust that this place, this time of worship with everybody here today, is going to be good for your soul and is going to help you grow in your exploration of the Christian faith. So what we're going to do now on this Palm Sunday is we're going to turn and greet one another.
Chase him down. No, no, no. Don't worry. I'm the last person who should be rushing somebody. I love that. That's my music to get going. Oh, good morning, everyone. I know this is your favorite part of the service, so I don't want to stop you, but as you are giving that last hug and handshake and warmly greeting each other, we are going to share some announcements, some very exciting things that we have happening here at our church, at your church. And if you're new, oh, you are so welcome. I'm so happy to see so many of you, some that I get to see every week and some I haven't seen for a while, and just love you. And we are so, so happy that you are here. Whatever brought you here this morning, we are so glad that you got here. I know we had an early prayer time this morning, and for many of you, you weren't feeling good this week, you didn't sleep well last night, but you're here. You're here in the house of God. You are here in your home church, in your family of God, and we are so very blessed that you are, because indeed, as Jim said, happy Palm Sunday. This week and next week are the most important dates on our yearly calendar. I hope that you know that. If we are a part of the family of Christ, then this week, which is the more sober, not exactly the happiest of news, however, the best news that any of us will ever hear or know, happens this week on our church calendar. And this is Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit this morning. And then next week, when we say, yeah, it was Friday, but Sunday came, and Jesus is not in the grave, and he is risen indeed. So we are going to have some incredible events coming up this week to celebrate that. Kids, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt for them at both services with some wonderful special things. I talked to Shannon downstairs this morning, and she is preparing it, and we're going to have a great time. So please invite anyone that you know, your neighbor in your neighborhood. If you hear those little voices out chirping, hand them a card. We've got cards on the back table for you. They're the perfect size. I told Jim those little business ones are a little too small, the 5x7s are too big, but this size is perfect. So you can push them in your pocket, you can put them in your purse, and you can say, I have something for you, and I would love for you to be a part of our services. So any stage and age, we'll have both of our regular services Easter Sunday with a very special message of the most splendid Sunday on our calendar. Then we're going to start out the week on that Friday when indeed it was dark and our memories go to the greatest sacrifice that the world will ever know. When Jesus went to the cross. So Christ in the Passover, we would love for you to join us on Good Friday. That's this coming Friday, March 30th at 7 o'clock. And we're going to have that explained to us. If you have not heard it before, or even if you have heard it before, I have, and I just get the chills and I'm excited to hear it again. What each piece of that Passover meal means, what the significance is, it really puts our hearts and minds on Jesus and what he did for us. So we would love for you to be a part of that right here at 7 o'clock p.m. on Friday. And then if you are new to this thing we're talking about, church, or your relationship with Jesus, then we want you to grow in that. Whatever step you're taking, if it's your first or second or more, we would love for you to be a part of Growth Track. Find out more about our church, find out more about this life and how we follow our Savior. April 15th at 10:40, so that'll be downstairs and during our second service, and we're going to have that class offered for you. Also, it is truly a blessing, and I have shared it. I've actually held those wonderful smelling coffee beans. I brewed them this morning, and they're sitting in my cup over there because I need it desperately. But we're so, so pleased to sincerely be partnering with Redwood Gospel Mission and the incredible work that they do. It's a blessing for us. So we are selling their coffee. $10 a bag. You can find it on the back table. We would love for you to participate in that ministry with us. If you like coffee, or if you want to bless someone with a bag of coffee, then you can pick it up right here each week. And then Luke Sanders is going to be, I know you guys love his teaching, he's so gifted. He's going to start a class that will begin on April 8th at 10:40, and edifying the church. And love that word, my favorite word. I love that it's in bold, and I love that it's in all caps, truth, T-R-U-T-H, because I love to say that Jesus is the truth with a capital T. So we would love for you to be a part of that. But right now, we are excited to continue worshiping. Thank you, worship band. Let's worship.
So if you would all stand again with us.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before. what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
So as we start this next song, we're preparing for communion. And the songs that were chosen were Ulla's songs. And this one is not one that we've sung. I think we may have done it with Ulla before, and it's called You Are My Strength. And the beautiful thing about this song is it really is a prayer, right? And a lot of these are. But it's asking God to be our strength and to reach down to us. So in a sense, it's like we're not... It's a two-way thing, right? Sometimes when we're struggling and we're really hurting, it's hard for us to reach to God. But God is also reaching down to us. You know, He's making that connection with us, and He's holding us up. So I hope that this feels like a prayer for you. To me, you are my hope.
reaches to me.
You're my hope.
You are my hope.
Be seated. We're going to celebrate communion in just a few minutes, and I want to focus on a scripture that comes right out of Holy Week. When we say Holy Week, or in Spanish, it's known as Semana Santa, which is week holy. Hello. I thought Raul was going to give me a rim shot or something. Holy Week, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus was gathering with his disciples in Jerusalem, in the upper room, to celebrate what Jews celebrate every single year in the early part of spring. They call it Passover. And it's a time of memorial, remembering the time when God rescued the Jewish people who were Hebrew slaves in the land of Egypt, and he brought them into freedom. He rescued them out of the dominion of the Pharaoh and the Egyptians and slavery, and eventually brought them into the promised land. And they celebrate that every year. That's why we're going to be focusing on that this Friday night. And I hope you guys will all put it on your calendar, put it in your smartphone. Friday night, 7 p.m., be here for Christ in the Passover. I'm going to read a scripture that you probably have seen during our communion time. We have scriptures that are up on the screen, and this comes from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 26. In the middle of the Passover meal, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant." It's one of the reasons when you look over on the cross, you notice that there's a red ribbon on the cross to remind us that the cross is now empty, but at one time that cross was filled with our Savior shedding his blood for us. And Jesus says, "This is my blood." When we take that juice in our hand, we are remembering, "This is my blood of the covenant," Jesus said, "which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray. Our gracious Lord Jesus, we want to honor you again this morning, as we do every week. For as often as we gather together, we do this communion in remembrance of you. And Lord, as we're holding that piece of bread, as we're gripping that little cup of juice, let it remind us that there was a time in history when you were walking among us in a human body, and you shed that blood for us. You allowed your body to be broken for us so that we could be redeemed and forgiven and set free. So we celebrate you and we honor you. In your name, amen. someone who is a representative of one of the mission organizations that our church supports. And if you want to see whom we support, where 18% of our budget goes to help support the work that they're doing on behalf of the Lord in their vineyard, in their area of the world, you can look at that in the missions gospel, in the missions booklet. It should be in front of you in one of the pew seats. In fact, I'm told there's going to be a brand new missions booklet coming out shortly, so look for that in your pews and future dates. All right, right now we're going to have Jeff Gilman come up to us and share with us about one of the oldest and first missions that this church has supported, the Redwood Gospel Mission. Please welcome Jeff.
Which means, I guess, I'm one of your oldest missionaries. And your coffee purveyor as well. So I'm glad that you are drinking mountain grown coffee. It's the richest kind. It's a delight to be here among old friends and just to share with you the things that are going on at Redwood Gospel Mission. As you know, we do not care for the poor and needy on behalf of Sebastopol Christian Church. It is our mission to mobilize the body of Christ to minister to poor and needy people so that lives are transformed through the grace and power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are gospel-driven life transformation, but mobilizing you guys to do the work of the ministry, which is evident in what you are doing tomorrow night through the nomadic shelter, as you will be welcoming people who are broken and poor and needy, needing to know the precious love and power of Jesus Christ, his life-transforming love by his death, burial, and resurrection. And what a delight to have a chance this week, as we think about the passion of our Lord, that you would be able to share the gospel with people who come to you tomorrow night. So we are delighted to be that for the body of Christ throughout this community, providing shelter, providing drug and alcohol recovery programs, providing jail and prison ministries, providing outreach opportunities for the body of Christ to connect with those who are poor and needy so that they can experience the transforming power and grace of Jesus Christ. This week, next Sunday, on that wonderful celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, we have an opportunity to be the first Christian ministry that gets to use Courthouse Square, the new Courthouse Square. And so we are welcoming believers to come down and minister to people who are poor and needy. We will be having probably 400 to 500 homeless guests that will be coming there for Easter dinner. We'll be having, the typical kind of Easter dinner and celebrating with the gospel of Jesus Christ being shared with people in need, with all kinds of activities, outreach activities to care for physical needs as well for folks. And you are certainly welcome to be a part of that. The nomadic shelter continues on through the end of April. And then we're going to take a break because churches need a break. Summertime makes it difficult for a lot of churches to be able to host folks. But then we'll be kicking back up in October, and then we will. But we throughout the summer we'll be having all kinds of activities, including the outreach, the homeless birthday party that we do to let people know that we're glad that they're alive, that God made them and gives them an opportunity to know Him. We'll be having City Kids festivals in Windsor and in Santa Rosa, serving about 2,000 children, providing backpacks and school supplies. And we'll be having a variety of other activities going on throughout the summer and into the fall. And we'd love to have you come to our website, look at more of the things that are going on. But we are delighted to be partnering with you. And I want to make it clear, you guys don't support Redwood Gospel Mission. We exist to support you and what God is calling you to do as the body of Christ. So it's a delight to be here and to partner with you. God bless you.
Thank you, Jeff. Some wonderful work that you're doing. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for the ability you give us as a church to take some of our resources and support great organizations, to partner with them. Because I know, like, for example, tomorrow night, we're going to be hosting a group of people with dinner and shelter on Monday night through Redwood Gospel Mission. Lord, I know that there are many men and women who have participated from this church down at Redwood Gospel Mission, preaching and sharing the good news of Christ to those who need to know him as their Savior and Lord. So, Father, we pray your blessing on Redwood Gospel Mission. Bless their efforts at Easter time with that wonderful meal in the square, their ministry to the kids and the families in the summer. And, Lord, bless what we do here to help take care of the homeless every single week. Father, we give these tithes and offerings to you, and we pray that you'd use them for your glory and for the expansion of Jesus' kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.
So, as you can, if you would stand with me, and we'll sing another great praise song. Great are you, Lord. You guys are good.
And all the earth will shout your praise.
is great and worthy to be praised. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, extra vocalists. I kept waiting for you guys to get in sync, like you'd be doing this kind of, as you're back there. You know? Yeah. Next week. Yeah, there you go. We'll really have something to celebrate. Well, it's good to see all of your smiling faces. We are in week number 6 of a 7-week series. We started right after Ash Wednesday. We started on February 18th in a new series called Resolute. It comes from Luke's Gospel in chapter 9, where it says that Jesus, knowing that his time here was short, that he was going soon to ascend into heaven, it says that Jesus resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem. And now the time has come. He has arrived. He is coming into Jerusalem. And great events are about to happen. Jesus is going to fulfill the mission for why he came. Before we continue, let's pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to lift up your son Jesus today. We want to see him in his glory for who he really is. And Father, we pray that as we study your word and the events of the final week of Jesus' life, Lord, let us see even more clearly the great love, the grace, the majesty that you have. And we pray, Father, that we'd see it and understand it, and Lord, that it would transform us from the inside out. Make us more like your son Jesus, Lord. Fill us with the joy that comes from knowing that you love us and you've made a way for us to be with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, as Jesus resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem, he is now coming down from the Mount of Olives, right? So this is on Palm Sunday. We call it Palm Sunday. You're going to see from a scripture in John's Gospel in just a moment. But it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, it says, they brought it to Jesus, meaning the colt, and they threw their cloaks on the colt, this child of a donkey, and they put it, Jesus, on the colt. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. You remember that it was only a few weeks before that Jesus, only 2 miles outside of Jerusalem in the village of Bethany, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And that news had spread, and Jesus is extremely popular. And so the people began to sing and to joyfully proclaim. They said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, quoting from Psalm 118, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And in John's Gospel, it says, the great crowd that had come for the festival, talking about Passover, the great festival the Jews gathered every spring to celebrate. They heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and so they took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And so Jesus found a young donkey. He sat on it, as it is written, and do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. So Jesus is now at the height of his popularity among the Jewish people. Unfortunately, as we will see, that popularity did not last.
Indeed, what happens next is the greatest event in all of the world's history. Jesus gathers together with his followers, his friends, his best friends. And yet as he sits at the meal that we call Passover, he becomes troubled deep in his spirit. He's sad because he knows that one of his very own, one of his followers, one of his friends will betray him. Jesus knows it's Judas. And so he turns to him and he says, go and do what you will do. And then he gathers together with his followers and they sit and they take the Last Supper together, the Passover feast. And he says to them, it won't be much longer that I will be with you. For Satan is approaching, and he is going to do a work. But I will do what the Father has called me to do. And setting his face resolute to obey his Father, he takes one step closer to the cross. Jesus asks his followers to go with him because he is grieving and he is troubled. And he says, let's go to the Mount of Olives and together let's pray. Jesus bowed and got on his knees. He set his face toward heaven, and with incredible, incredible pain that the Bible tells us, he passionately requested that his Father would help him to do what he knew he was called to do. He even began to sweat drops of blood. But Jesus knew where his strength came from. And so once again, he set his face resolute to do the will of his Father. And again, he took one step closer to the cross. Suddenly, he heard it. The boots of the marching soldiers who were coming to take him. The torches began to light the dark night. And Jesus didn't look away. He actually stepped forward toward them. And he said, it's I that you are coming for. Leave them alone. Let them go. And in doing that, Jesus protected his friends. He protected you. And he protected me. Because he allowed them to bind his hands. He allowed them to take him to trial. For something he did not deserve. For something he never did. Jesus is perfect. Jesus was sinless. And so he went. And he took one step closer to the cross. Jesus was put on trial before Pontius Pilate. And he didn't plead his case. He remained silent before his accusers. You see, Jesus was perfect. Jesus had never sinned. Now, I may be a leader in the church, but I've sinned. I sin every day. I deserve the punishment that Jesus was about to take for me. No one on this earth has ever been perfect except the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. And before his accusers, he was silent. And he took those final steps to the cross. And on this dark day, we see Jesus bound. We see him mocked. We see him accused of something he never did. We see him nailed to a cross. The most horrid of punishments any of the worst criminals could ever experience. Jesus could have stopped it. Jesus could have called down angels from heaven and pleaded with his Father to get him out, but he didn't. For one reason and one reason only. Like I said, I've sinned. I deserved that punishment, but Jesus stayed on that cross for me. He took my sin and my punishment upon himself. Jesus hung on that cross and stayed on that cross for you. Whether you know him as Lord and Savior or not, Jesus stayed and took the punishment for you because he loves you that much. And then from that horrible cross, he does speak words to his Father. It is finished. And after 6 hours of grueling torture, the Son of God bows his head and dies for my sin and for yours. But that is not the end of the story.
No, indeed, it is not the end of the story. But before we get to the resurrection, which we're going to talk about next week, let's backtrack in the story a little bit. Let's backtrack to the point where Jesus is standing on trial before the Roman governor, before Pontius Pilate. And we find that there is another character in this story, a character that doesn't seem to be very well known, but it is a character that is very important, because we're going to talk about a man named Barabbas. Barabbas is known as the man who missed his cross. Look at what the scripture says in Luke's gospel, or in Matthew's gospel, excuse me. Now, it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. Can you believe that? His name, his first name, was the same name as Jesus, our Savior. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew, Pilate knew, that it was out of self-interest, it was out of envy, that the Jewish leaders had handed Jesus over to him. And so Pilate is trying to release Jesus, he's trying to let Jesus go, and he comes up with this idea. And the idea was, there was a custom at the time. It was a custom among the Romans to allow a prisoner to go free. So it says in Luke's gospel, if we want to back up a slide, it says, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, and he said to them, talking about Jesus, after Pilate had now examined Jesus and asked him questions and gotten answers, "Are you a king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is, as you say, but my kingdom is not of this world." And so Pilate says, I cannot find this man guilty. And so he says, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence, and I found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see, and he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." And then what the crowd says, there's a turn in the story, and this crowd was incited, I believe, by the Jewish leaders, because they absolutely were committed to put Jesus to death, and the Jewish leaders were not allowed to put Jesus to death. Only the Romans had the authority to execute a criminal for their crimes and put them to death. So upon the instigation of the Jewish leaders, it says the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man," talking about Jesus, "away with Jesus, release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection and for murder. So who was this man, Barabbas? Barabbas was known as an enemy to Rome and to the empire, but to the Jewish people, it was very likely that Barabbas was known as a hero. Ironically, Barabbas was really guilty for the crimes for which Jesus was accused. His name, Jesus Barabbas, is significant, for besides sharing the first name as Jesus our Savior, Barabbas is a Aramaic word that means son of the Father. Can you believe that? Son of the Father. Now, we know that Jesus, that's his identity. He is the Son of our Heavenly Father, of God himself. Barabbas was called son of the Father, probably meaning that Barabbas was the son of a well-known Jewish rabbi in Israel at the time. But instead of following his own father into the family business, if you will, of being a rabbi, Barabbas became a revolutionary. He became a zealot, an insurrectionist. To the Romans, he was known as a domestic terrorist. And he deserved to die a painful death. Now, in Matthew's account, Jewish leaders, they already knew about the annual custom that the Romans had, the deal they made with the Jewish leaders that said, okay, every Passover season, Rome is going to be kind. We're going to show mercy. We're going to allow one of the criminals that is scheduled to be executed, and we're going to allow one of those criminals to go free. It's amazing to think of that this being a gesture of goodwill, a gesture of mercy. It's amazing to think that this actually came from the Roman government. They are not known for their mercy and their goodwill. And so the Jewish leaders, they were ready to make their pitch to Pontius Pilate. Of course, what they say is, hey, yeah, we have Jesus the Messiah here, and we have another criminal that is in jail awaiting execution. His name is Barabbas. And so instead of releasing Jesus, we would much prefer you to release Barabbas to us. Barabbas, they answered. So then Pilate comes back and he says, so then what do you want me to do with Jesus here, who's called the Messiah? And they all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? As you read the Gospels, you can see the attempt, at least, that the Roman governor is making to try to release Jesus, to try to not see him executed, because he knew that Jesus was not guilty of the crimes for which he was accused of by the Jews. So he says, why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Now I want you to stop and use your mind's imagination, and I want you to imagine yourself as this man Barabbas in these moments. You've been a revolutionary. You've been fighting the Roman occupation of Israel and Jerusalem. You have killed Romans, most likely Roman soldiers. And then you get caught. And you are guilty. And you are sentenced to die for your crimes. And as you're sitting in your jail cell, bound in these chains, awaiting your own execution, this jail cell that Barabbas was sitting in was in the Roman fortress known as Antonia. It was not far from the place where Pilate was standing there examining Jesus before the Jewish leaders, where Jesus was on trial. It was not that far away. It's not likely that Barabbas could hear the conversation between Pilate and Jesus and the Jewish leaders, but it is very possible that when the crowd was yelling something, Barabbas could hear what they were yelling. So you have to imagine this. When Pilate presented the crowd with the option of pardoning Jesus for Passover, and the Jews incited the crowd to ask for Barabbas instead, that Barabbas could hear his own name spoken. He couldn't hear Pilate ask, well, then, what do you want me to do with Jesus? Or who would you rather have me release to you? Do you want me to release Jesus or Barabbas? He couldn't hear that part of the conversation, but here's something that Barabbas could hear. Barabbas! So he's like, whoa, they're yelling my name. What's going on? So Barabbas is hearing his name yells, and then he couldn't hear what Pilate's next question was, which was, well, then, what do you want me to do with Jesus? But Barabbas could hear the next words being yelled by the crowd. Crucify him! Crucify him! So what are the main words that Barabbas hears as he's in the jail cell? Barabbas! Crucify him! Crucify him! And so you can imagine that Barabbas believes, well, that's it then. This is the end for me. This is the day that I'm going to die. And the truth is, friends, each one of us is like Barabbas. We all deserve to die for our sins. We've been imprisoned by our past. We are condemned for our low road, hurtful, selfish choices that we've made in our lives. And we are sentenced as well for our high-minded pride and our self-sufficiency. And a holy and righteous God justly finds us guilty. And so we too sit in our cell awaiting the punishment to come. That's certainly what Barabbas did. He sat on the floor, chained to his cold stone cell, awaiting his final moments of life. He could hear the executioner's footsteps echoing down the hall, and hanging his head low, Barabbas didn't even look up as the guard opened his cell door. He cringed as the guard began to speak, because he knows what the guard is going to say to him. Barabbas, stand up. It's time for you to pay for your crimes. There are three crosses that were prepared up on that hill outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha, what we also know as Calvary. And Barabbas knew that one of those three crosses was designated for him. And then the door swings open and the guard yells, "Get out." And so Barabbas is awaiting his fate, knowing he's about to die, about to go to his end on a cross. And just then, completely caught by surprise, completely caught off guard, Barabbas hears the guard say to him, "Barabbas, you are free to go." And he can't believe it. And then he hears the guard say to him, "They took Jesus instead of you." And then, shackles removed, Barabbas walked into the morning sun, his crimes pardoned. And with each uncertain step as he left the jail cell and he left the fortress of Antonia, Barabbas must have been wondering to himself, what just happened? Why was he going free, a criminal? I'll tell you what just happened. Grace just happened. Christ took his place. And the truth is, friends, Christ took your place as well. The Bible affirms this in both the Old and the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says, "The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him," on Jesus. In Peter's letter, in 1 Peter, he echoes the same truth. He says, "For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." This is what Chuck Swindoll, a famous American pastor, now in Texas, used to live in Fullerton, where I used to live. I heard him preach live a number of times. Chuck Swindoll writes, "Barabbas missed his cross because another man took his place. Jesus hung on the cross intended for Barabbas, just as he hung on that cross in our place. Like Barabbas, we were dead in our trespasses and sins until Jesus crucified body, until he released the blood of the substitutionary atonement. And like Barabbas, we were condemned to die until Jesus took our place. Like Barabbas, we too have been set free, and that freedom we have lasts for all eternity." Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, Messiah, Son of God, took the place of Barabbas, the rebel criminal. Jesus didn't have to do it. Why did he go to the cross? He went to the cross out of great love, out of great hope, and out of great faith. Greater love, Jesus says, has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Bible says, "And he," Jesus, "died for all." This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "And Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." The gospel story, put in its smallest nutshell, is basically this. Jesus comes to you and to me and he says, "I died for you. Now will you live for me?" That's the challenge that he has for us all. And friends, if you have committed your life to follow Jesus, if you've trusted him to save you, then you too, like me, have missed your cross. You too have great reason to rejoice, and no great reason to shout hallelujah next Sunday when we celebrate Jesus' resurrection and the victory over sin and death. But friends, if you do not yet know him today, today could be your day. Today could be the day that you would have that same amazing feeling of relief and of joy and of happiness, because you too can miss your cross. You too can miss out on the judgment and separation that comes from our rebellion against God. You too have the ability today to join that company of the redeemed. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to take that step toward God? Are you ready to say yes to Jesus today? If you are, let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. And friends, whether you're here in the room today or whether you're listening via live stream, I just want to ask you that question. Are you ready? Are you ready to follow Jesus, the one who gave his life for you? Sitting in that jail cell of your life, sitting there awaiting judgment, knowing that we and you have done things that have offended a holy God, and yet knowing that Jesus took your place when he gave his life on the cross for you. Lord Jesus, we recognize that you are the Son of God, that you are the Savior of the world, that you gave your life on Calvary. You went willingly to the cross for us so that we could be forgiven. And Lord, in my heart, I ask you to come in. I give you my life. I commit my life to following you. I say yes to you being the leader and the forgiver of my life. And for the rest of my life, Lord, I'm going to serve you. Lord, if you are willing to die for me, then I am willing to live for you. Thank you for such a great salvation, Lord. And if you've already committed your life to follow Jesus, then I just remind you of what that scripture says, that those who know that Christ died for us, then we should no longer live for ourselves, that we need to recommit our lives to live fully for Jesus and to spread his good news to everyone who's still outside God's family. Lord, help us to do that today. Help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit, because you said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Help us to do that today, to spread your love and your grace and your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, if you made that decision to follow Jesus, choir, you need to come on up right now. If you made that decision to follow Jesus, I rejoice with you in that decision. We have some materials for you to help you to get started in your Christian life. One of the greatest next steps you can take is to be obedient to our Lord Jesus when he said what we need to do after we, as soon as we say yes to following Jesus, we need to go public. We need to make that public declaration of our faith in Jesus in the waters of baptism. And if you haven't yet been baptized, we are ready to baptize you in the name of Jesus. We could do it next weekend on Easter Sunday. Wouldn't that be an amazing celebration? So if you're ready to do that and to be baptized into Christ, please fill out that card or see me or Lisa or see Aaron or somebody in the back, and we'll make those arrangements with you at that time. All right, choir. Awesome song. Way to fire us up. Hey, I've got three challenges for you guys for this coming Easter week. First one is I challenge you guys to go into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read the last two or three chapters of each one of those Gospels. Read the story of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read the story of his death and his burial and his resurrection and the witnesses who saw him alive after he was raised from the dead. So do that, number one. Number two, if you can at all possible, make it back here downstairs on Friday night for Christ in the Passover, 7 p.m. It's going to be a great experience. And then number three, share the love of Christ. You know, share the joy that we have. Find somebody that you can bring with you to our Easter services next Sunday. We'll see you then. God bless you and have a great week.
choir. Can you hear anything? Good morning, choir. If you'd like to come on up and we'll get ready to start this service.
Excellent. What an energetic way to start off the worship service. Welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church. Good morning. My name is Jim and I'm pastor here. And welcome. We finally made it to Holy Week. Semana Santa in Spanish, right? And this is the week that starts with Jesus triumphantly coming into Jerusalem on a donkey with the palm branches waving. and ending in his victory over sin and death. And we're going to celebrate that big time next week. So we're so glad that you are here. Man, we've had a rainy week, haven't we? It's been kind of wet. They're talking about flooding, flood watches I got on my phone this week. You know, we got to remember, that was an answer to prayer. Because we had a dry January and February. We're looking at a drought. We were all praying, Lord, please bring the rain, bring the snow to the mountains. And did he? So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Hey, if you're a guest with us, we've got a gift for you, one of these travel mugs that has our church on it. We'd love to give it to you at the end of the service in the lobby area. Please just take one of these welcome cards in front of you, fill it out. We'll exchange it at that time. If you're joining with us via live stream on the internet, good morning and welcome. And we trust that this church is a great place for you to explore the Christian faith and find a spiritual home. Now we're going to stand up, everyone, and greet each other.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is the part of the service. Thank you. I love it when you answer back. This is the part of the service that we love as you all share your love. And as I said in the first service, and it's such a blessing to me to see it repeated in the second service, to see the faces that we get to see each week and to see ones that we haven't seen for a while. And what a blessing it is, what a joy it is to know that we are all the family of God and we all come together here in this place on the weekends to praise and to worship Him. Well, today and next Sunday mark the two most important dates on the Christian calendar, bar none. And today brings us to a much more sober reminder of what took place many, many, many years ago, but nevertheless is to this day the greatest event that has ever taken place in the history of the world, or will ever take place in the history of the world, when we are here to remember Palm Sunday, to remember the greatest gift that was ever given to all of us, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf. So happy Palm Sunday and welcome to church. It's a great place to be because when we come together, God really says in His word that the church are his people. And when we gather together in his name, then we are doing exactly what God has called us to do. I love to quote, I'm not even going to say one of my favorite pastors, my favorite pastor. No surprise, my husband, who always reminds me of, why do we do church? If God says that the church at large are his people and we are scattered all over the place, why do we do church? Because there's no other way to practice the one another's. How do you love one another? How do you encourage one another? How do you build one another up? How do you hold each other up in prayer when they need it if you're not coming together and you're not practicing the one another's? So thank you, because I love being one another with you together in this place where we lift him up. Well, we do have some special events coming between these 2 weeks that mark the most significant event in all of Christendom. And it starts with this coming Friday, Good Friday. And we have a very special privilege to come together here, right here at 7 o'clock, and get to have the meanings of all of the elements, each individual piece that is in that Passover supper that continues to be extremely significant, as we see that each one has a special meaning that points to this incredible day in history. So please join us. It's going to be a wonderful time of coming together. We had an incredible praise and worship night. I believe that I'm standing here today because of Friday. It was wonderful. It was powerful. The Spirit of God was in this place, and he has great plans for all of us. So I'm excited about that. So I just don't want you to miss out. You need to be here, and it's going to be a great event as we are reminded of what Jesus has done for us. And then we also have, after that, Easter Sunday. So what we want you to do is take those incredibly, and I'm doing this because this is exactly the size of them. We've had business cards before, and those are too small for me. I lose them in my purse. And then we've had the 5x7s. Those are too big because I forget to put them in my purse. They take up too much space. I think we hit it this year. It is the perfect size. They're this big. Men, you can stick them in your pockets or your shirt pockets. Ladies, pop them in your purse. Put them in your car. And whenever you see someone, hand them one. That's all you have to do. It says it all. If they have children of any age or stage, we have an egg hunt for them. We have great classes for them. If they're adults, then they're going to be welcomed at either one of the services, which will indeed celebrate the greatest day in history, Jesus our Lord risen from the grave. So please take those as you're leaving. They're on the back table, and hand those out. And let's all gather here together next week, same place, same time, to do exactly what we're doing right now. Well, no matter if you have been following Jesus for a very long time, if you've just been following him for a few years, or if you are brand new and you're going, what is this all about? Great question. We are all in a growth process. We are all daily learning how we can be better followers of Jesus. So we have Growth Track, so that you can come and learn how to better follow him. Or you can come and learn about the church. You can come and ask questions and go, I have no idea how to follow him. That's a great place to be, and we want to help you along that journey. So that'll start April 15th at 10:40 in the second service. So right now you would just come to the first one and go to that, the second one. Easy peasy, we make it so easy for you. And then we also have a wonderful, wonderful blessing to come alongside and partner with the Redwood Gospel Mission. You know that they do such a beautiful job, and you're going to hear a little bit more about what they do in specifics very soon. But we're so happy to be, in a small way, partnering with them in being able to buy coffee, bags of coffee that they're selling, $10 a bag. We do have them, and we would love for you to buy a bag, take it home with you, and make maybe this instead of stopping in at Starbucks every week like I normally do when I run out. Buy a bag and support the Redwood Gospel Mission. Well, we are just also blessed to have great teachers in this place, many. And Luke Sanders is certainly one of them. He's going to be bringing a new class that will start on April 8th. It will be at 10:40. Again, if you're sitting here right now, you can just flip-flop. Come to the 9 o'clock, go to his class at 10:40. And it is by far, and I know this is hard to just pinpoint one, but I'm telling the truth before my God, it's my favorite word, truth. I love that it's bold, and I love that it's all caps. Truth, T-R-U-T-H. Come learn more about edifying the church, speaking his truth in love, because I like to say that Jesus and his gospel message is the truth with a capital T. So we would love for you to join us in that. Well, we are blessed also to get to do fun things together, and one of them is golfing. So if you were sad that it poured and rained yesterday, and if you got up and it was freezing cold, and my husband's words were, it's like 40 degrees, I would have been out there right now. That's the only reason that we had to postpone it. But it has only been postponed. It has been rescheduled for April 14th, same place, same time. So be there, and now you have time to bring someone with you. Let's continue worshiping.
Good morning. If you would all stand with me. So many of you might have been expecting a different face today. Who knows? Ula Pamel was supposed to be here this morning, but unfortunately he has the flu. So it is my smiling flula. so you have me, but that's okay because I'm really happy to be here with you. And we're going to start with Your Love Never Fails. So I think you guys are familiar with this one. Sorry, I don't know.
Thank you.
this is, I, you know, and I got the call that Ula was sick last night or yesterday afternoon. Didn't give us much prep time, but the songs that he chose, I think, are really amazing. Kind of coincidentally, these are also the songs, if you were here on the praise and worship night that we did for the prayer night. So it all kind of worked together, I think. So we're going to sing, "Great Are You, Lord." This time we're going to prepare for communion, so if you could come forward, please.
ago that Jesus, on the night of the Passover, which was an annual Jewish celebration, every year the Jewish people gathered and they celebrated the Seder feast in honor of Passover, in honor of that historic occasion when God, through Moses, rescued the Hebrews while they were slaves in Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And that's what Jesus in the new covenant has done for us. He's taken us out of slavery to sin, and he's brought us into the promised land of his family, and to be able to enjoy his presence and to be involved in his kingdom work while we're here on earth, and then to be able to celebrate forever his greatness in heaven with him. This is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. During the Passover meal, and you will recognize these words because they're often on the screen during our time of communion. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took the cup, and gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. This is my blood of the covenant. You'll notice on the cross up there that it has the red ribbon, reminding us that it was Jesus' very own blood that was shed on our behalf. His blood signing the new covenant, the new agreement between God and man, which was not based upon keeping God's laws, but based upon faith and trust in his son Jesus, and having the presence of God's Holy Spirit to empower us to live the kind of life that God created us to live all along. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Lord Jesus, we want to honor you this morning. And as these elements are passed this morning and we hold that little piece of bread in our hand and we hold that little cup of juice, Lord, let it remind us that these physical elements are emblems of your physical body, which historically, years and years and years ago, on a hill outside of Jerusalem, you gave your life for us. You allowed your body to be broken for us. You allowed your love, your blood to be shed for us because of your love. Thank you for your great love. Lord, we honor you this morning. In your name, amen. approximately once a month, we have the privilege of hosting someone from one of the mission organizations and agencies that our church supports, that we partner with. One of our oldest missions partners is actually not from far away, not from Zimbabwe, not from Korea, not from Chile in South America. They're right here in Santa Rosa and West Sonoma County, and it's the Redwood Gospel Mission. And Jeff Gilman is here. He's been with them for over 25 years. Let's welcome Jeff this morning.
Thank you, Jim. I guess that means I'm one of your oldest missionaries. It's always a delight to be here, and I've said this to you many times. This is the first place I was, the first church I came to when I came to Redwood Gospel Mission. It was such a blessing to be welcomed into the community by being here. I think it was Jim Minnis, some of you remember Jim, who introduced me. And it was the men's breakfast, and we were eating breakfast, and I spilled orange juice on my lap as we were, and then I had to get up and speak. So it was not a great morning already. And so Jim gave me this warm welcome. He said, I don't know who he is. I don't know anything about him. But he has something to say, apparently. Here, speak. Never forget it. Loved being here ever since. I just sell coffee. If it's okay to buy Starbucks, if you don't mind supporting Big Green Mermaids. But if you want to support the gospel, then you can buy Redwood Gospel Mission coffee. No pressure there. The missions ministry is not to be a subcontractor for the church. Missions aren't subcontractors. What we exist to be is an organization that mobilizes God's people to minister to the poor and needy so that lives are transformed by the grace and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we exist to do, and that's what we are doing. That's what we are doing with you tomorrow night as you host homeless and broken and needy people coming here to be served. We come and bring some mattresses and a couple of staff people to work with you. But you guys do the work of the ministry. You bring the gospel, you bring the love of Jesus Christ, you bring fellowship, and you invite people in to your home to be a blessing to them. And because of that, lives are being transformed. And we delight in partnering with you. We do that tomorrow night. We do that every night of the year, or every night from October to the end of April at a different church each night. And we'll take a break at the end of April, but we'll start again in the fall. We also do that every night of the year at 6th and Wilson and on Wild Rose Drive. We offer a variety of different ministries that we have in each of our ministry facilities that engage and empower and mobilize the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. And we invite you to partner in any of those ministries that you would like to do to just take that next step in caring for the poor and needy in our community. Jesus reminds us that we will always have them with us. And we have a responsibility to love and care for them. In Jesus' name. We have opportunities coming up next week as we will be the first Christian ministry to get to use the new Courthouse Square. So we are going to be, yay! We are going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ by caring for people in need. We will expect 400 to 500 guests coming with us, and we invite folks from the body of Christ to come and minister to people, meeting physical needs, but also in sharing the gospel and in working one-on-one with people and praying with them as they hear the message of hope in Jesus. We have a variety of other events coming on throughout the summer, the Homeless Birthday Party, the City Kids Festival, where we'll be providing backpacks and school supplies to about 2,000 kids. It would be great to see Sebastopol Christian Church have a booth and be represented and reach out to children at that event. It's a great event where more than 35 churches come together to minister to children in need, and be a great opportunity for you. And we have a lot of things that are going on every day of the year, but it's a delight more than anything to simply partner with you. We don't see ourselves as being supported by the churches of our community. We exist to support you and what God is calling you to do in your ministry in caring for the poor in our community. And we delight in being a partner with you. God bless you all.
Amen, Jeff. What a wonderful ministry you guys are doing. And we are privileged to partner with you. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to come alongside great organizations like Redwood Gospel Mission. Lord, we pray your blessing on them. May they continue to have the resources they need to reach the people that you want to reach. Lord, the kind of people that you said, like for example, when you were talking about the parable of the banquet, all these other people have been invited and they all refused to show up. So where did you tell the people to go? You said, go out into the highways and the byways and invite everybody in the country lanes, invite all the people that didn't get invited before, because that gospel, that wedding feast of Jesus, is for everybody. And we pray that everybody would be able to hear the good news of Christ and be saved. Lord, bless them in the courthouse square next week. May many, many people be reached. And in the ministries that they have in the summer with those kids and the backpacks, Father, help us to come alongside and partner with them in events such as that. Lord, now as we receive these offerings and our tithes, Lord, we want you to be blessed. We give them cheerfully to you, and we pray that you'll continue to use these tithes and offerings to expand your kingdom and to proclaim the name of Jesus here in town and across the land. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're going to sing another praise song. This song is kind of new to us in that I think we haven't sung it since Ula's band was here with us last time. It's called "You Are My Strength," and the beauty of this is this worship song to me is that it talks about not just that God is our strength and we're reaching up and out for His power, but that He is reaching down to us. He reaches us with His power. He's meeting us halfway. So if it's really hard for you to pray right now, if it's really a struggle, if you're having a trial or something that makes it hard for you to reach and speak to God, he's coming down to you. He's giving you His strength, and He'll give you what you need. So if you could stand with me and sing this, it would be great.
Like no other.
precious to me.
You are my hope.
You are my hope. Hope I know of. Hope like no other. Precious to me.
Seated. Thank you, worship team. All you guys, we appreciate your ministry. We appreciate the Magnificent Seven, the vocal ensemble behind you as well. Proving once again that, yeah, you do got rhythm. Yeah, we do need God's strength. We need his hope. And the reason we can count on God is because of what that song echoed, that his love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. His faithfulness reaches to the sky. We can count on God's faithfulness. Amen? Before I get started, I'm going to move this back just for a moment. There. Now we're ready to go. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today because you loved us first. And Lord, we pray that today you'd open our eyes so that we could see the great extent of your love, humbling yourself to the point of death, even a horrific, terrible, painful death on the cross. Thank you for your great love for us. And Lord, we pray that we would be able to see that today, to understand it, to capture it, and to be able to pass it on to other people. Lord, please fill us all with your Holy Spirit. Let him be our great teacher and our guide. Fill your servant with your words, with passion, and with clarity, so that your truth is proclaimed and that Jesus is lifted up. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I need to do anything. Do I need to move left or right to kind of avoid this? But anyway, we are in week number 6 of a series called Resolute. Resolute comes from that great passage in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51 where it says, Jesus, knowing that his time was coming near for him to go back to be ascended into heaven, knowing that time was near, Jesus resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because he knew that it was in Jerusalem that was going to be the place and the time for his mission to be fulfilled. He was going to complete his mission there in the city of Jerusalem. We finally reached that point where Jesus is now coming into Jerusalem for the last week of his life here on earth. And we have here in Luke's Gospel chapter 19 where the Word of God says to us, they brought it to Jesus and threw their cloaks on the colt. That would be that offspring of the donkey. And they put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks out on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, in other words, down the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. You recall that it was only maybe 6 or 7 or 8 weeks earlier that Jesus, 2 miles away from the city of Jerusalem, Jesus had gone to the town of Bethany. And in John chapter 11, we read that he raised a man who had been dead in the grave for 4 days, a man named Lazarus. That news, that tremendous miracle of raising the dead, that had spread all throughout Jerusalem. Jesus was extremely popular. That's why when he came down, they welcomed him. They welcomed him as the possible Messiah who would come and rescue them from the Romans. And so they were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." In John's gospel, he adds this, the great crowd that had come for the festival of Passover. They heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And this is where we get Palm Sunday, right? In verse 13, they took palm branches and they went out to meet him, waving the palm branches, welcoming their ruler into the city, shouting, "Hosanna," which means "save us" or "save now." "Hosanna," and "blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." "Blessed is the King of Israel." quoting from Psalm 118. So Jesus was there on the young donkey, he sat on it, and it's fulfilling prophecy right out of Zechariah in the Old Testament. It says, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming to you seated on a donkey's colt." So Jesus was coming into town. He was at the very height of his popularity. But unfortunately, that popularity would not last.
And what happens next is the most important event in all of history. Jesus gathers together with his followers, with his best friends, and he sits with them to take the Passover meal. Suddenly, amongst his friends, his spirit is troubled and he's grieved, for he knows sitting among them is the very one that will betray him. Jesus already knows it is Judas. So he looks at him and he says, "Go and do what you must do." And then he turns to his disciples and he takes the Passover meal with them. But his heart is still heavy as he says to them, "I don't have much longer to be with you. For indeed, Satan has already entered in and has already started to work his plan. But I will obey my Father." And in saying that, Jesus takes one step closer to the cross. He asks his disciples to go with him to pray, for he needs the help of his Father in heaven. And so he does just that. He bows his knees in prayer. He faces this moment with his God, who he knows will give him the strength that he needs to do what is before him. And the Bible tells us that he is still grieving so deeply that he sweats drops of blood. But yet, Jesus gets up and takes one step closer to the cross. Then he hears it. The boots of the soldiers that are coming to take him. And he doesn't step back. He steps forward. He sees the torches lighting that dark night. And he faces his accusers. And he says on behalf of his followers, "It's me that you are coming for. Let them go. I'm the one you want." And they bind him and they take him and they put him before Pontius Pilate, and he takes yet another step closer to the cross. Pilate finds nothing in him, for indeed Jesus is sinless. He's never committed a sin. I can't say that. It doesn't matter how long I've been in the church. I have sinned. I deserve that penalty. I need my sins washed. Can you say that? No, there's not another person on earth that could have taken my place or could have taken your place. Only the perfect Savior of the world, the Son of God. And so he stands silent before his accusers, and he allows them to bind him and to nail him to that cursed cross. He could have called down legions of angels from heaven to get him out of this situation. But he didn't. He stayed. He stayed because he loves me that much and because he loves you that much. And then yet again, he hung for 6 gruesome, painful hours and endured the greatest torture of the greatest criminal for me and for you. Then they took his body down from that cross and they placed him in a tomb. But the good news is the story doesn't end there.
It doesn't end there. What I want to do is, because we cannot go over every detail of the passion of our Lord Jesus, we're just going to focus on one detail. So what I want to take in this gospel story is, on that Friday, what we call Good Friday, not so good a Friday for Jesus, but a great Friday for us, when the Lamb of God gave his life for us, is on that day when Jesus is standing on trial before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. There's another character who comes into the story. And this character isn't known very well by that many people, although he's in almost every gospel. His name is Barabbas. And what makes Barabbas important was, literally for him that day on Good Friday, Barabbas is now known as the man who missed his cross. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence, and I have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither is Herod, for Herod sent him back to us, as you can see, and he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." That's the account according to Luke. If we jump over to Matthew's gospel, it says that there were already 3 criminals. They were scheduled to be executed that day or sometime soon, and Barabbas happened to be one of them. We read in Matthew's gospel, "Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. And at that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas." Can you believe that? His first name was Jesus. "So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?' For he," talking about Pilate, "he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him." And how does the crowd react? Go back to Luke's gospel. It says the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Who was this man, Barabbas? Luke gives us a little bit of detail in here. Barabbas was an enemy to the Roman Empire. He was likely a hero to the Jewish people. Why? Because he was a zealot. He was a revolutionary. He was a man who made it his life's ambition to overthrow the Roman government and to kick them out of the land of Israel. Interestingly, Barabbas was actually really guilty of the crimes for which Jesus was accused. His name is Jesus Barabbas, for besides sharing the first name with Jesus, Barabbas is a name that means son of the Father. Can you believe that? Talk about God incidents. Barabbas, son of the Father. Jesus, obviously, is the Son of God, the Son of his Heavenly Father. Barabbas was known as the Son of the Father, probably because he was the son of a very well-known, famous Jewish rabbi, which means that if Barabbas had followed in his father's footsteps, he too would have been a rabbi. But Barabbas chose to go in a different path, and he became an insurrectionist and a rebel and a revolutionary, and he became a violent man. To the Romans, Barabbas was a notorious terrorist who deserved to die a very painful death. And you know, in Matthew's account, it says that the Jewish leaders, they already knew about this annual custom for the Roman governor to release one of the Jewish prisoners during the Passover celebration. It was interesting because this would actually be a gesture of goodwill and mercy by the Roman government. Do you think the Roman government was known for exhibiting goodness and mercy? Not at all. It was the Jewish leaders' intention that they were going to use this moment to make sure that it was Jesus of Nazareth who went to the cross and not Barabbas. So the Jewish leaders are ready with their pitch to Pontius Pilate, the governor, and says the chief priests and the elders, they persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which one of the two do you want me to release to you?" said Pontius Pilate. "Barabbas," they answered. "Well, what shall I do then with Jesus, who's called the Christ, or called the Messiah?" And they all answered, "Crucify him." Now look at Pilate, because I want you to notice, Pilate was trying to do the right thing, at least for a time. Temporarily, he was trying to do justice. He knew that he had this man's life in his hands, and if he was really guilty, then he ought to be put to death. But if he was not guilty and he was innocent of these charges, then it was not Pilate's job just to give in to the Jewish leaders and put this man to death. So Pontius Pilate tried in some way to rescue Jesus. He said, "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Now what I want you to do for a moment is use your mind's eye. I want you to use your imagination, and I want you to picture yourself as Barabbas. Picture yourself as a revolutionary, a man who's been against the Roman occupation of Israel and Jerusalem for years. You have been a zealot. You have been violent. You have killed Romans. You've probably killed soldiers. And then finally you get caught and you're guilty and you are sentenced to die for your crimes. And so now, as Barabbas, you're sitting in jail. You're bound in chains. You are awaiting your own execution. The jail cell in the Roman fortress in Antonia there in Jerusalem was not far from the place of judgment where Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, was actually standing interviewing Jesus and the Jewish leaders and trying to figure out what he was going to do with Jesus. And so Barabbas probably couldn't hear the conversation between Pilate and Jesus and the Jewish leaders, but I do believe Barabbas was close enough that he could hear the shouting and he could hear the yelling. And what was Barabbas actually hearing in his ears? He could hear the roar of the crowd. When Pilate presented the crowd with the option of pardoning Jesus for Passover and the Jews incited the crowd to ask for Barabbas instead, Barabbas could hear his own name spoken. So what is the first word that Barabbas hears the crowd yelling? You know what he hears? Barabbas. And then Barabbas doesn't hear Pilate asking the question, you really want Barabbas? Okay, well, what do you want me to do with Jesus? But what Barabbas does hear right after his name being yelled is that he hears Barabbas. And then he hears the crowd yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Can you imagine the feeling in Barabbas at that moment? Not only was he awaiting an execution, but by this time, I can imagine Barabbas threw up his hands and he said, "Well, then that's the end of it. That's the end of me. My time has come. This is going to be the day that I die." The truth is, friends, that each one of us is just like Barabbas. Why? Because each one of us, like Barabbas, deserve to die for our sins. If we're honest, each one of us is imprisoned by our past. We're condemned for our low road, selfish, hurtful choices that we've made out of our will. And we are also sentenced by our high-minded pride and our arrogance and our independence from God. And a holy and righteous God rightly finds us guilty for our sins. And so we too sit in our cell awaiting for judgment, awaiting for the punishment that is to come. You know, that certainly is what Barabbas did as he sat on the floor, chained to that stone-cold cell, awaiting his final moments. He heard the executioner's footsteps echoing down the hall. And with his head hung low, Barabbas probably didn't even look up as the guard opens the jail door. He cringes as that man is about to speak. He knows what the guard is going to say to him. Barabbas, it's time. It's time to pay for your crimes. There are three crosses prepared up on that hill outside of Jerusalem, and one of those crosses is going to be yours. And then the door swings open and the guard barks out, Barabbas, get out. And then Barabbas, something happens to him which is nothing short of miraculous. Something happens to him that he can't hardly believe what his ears are hearing. Instead of saying, Barabbas, this is the day you die, he's completely off guard because Barabbas hears the guard say to him, Barabbas, you are free to go. They took Jesus instead of you. And then the shackles are removed, and Barabbas walks out into the morning sun. His crimes are pardoned, and he can't hardly believe it. He's still in the state of shock, and he's walking around. He's leaving the city of Jerusalem. With each uncertain step, Barabbas is wondering, what just happened? You and I who know the gospel story, you and I can answer that question. Barabbas, I'll tell you what just happened. Grace just happened. You got something that you didn't deserve. You got mercy that you didn't earn. You got a gift from God that is a free gift if you would just believe it and accept it. Because the truth is, Jesus not only took Barabbas' place and went to the cross, Jesus took your place as well. Amen? That deserves a hallelujah to our great God. Because the Bible affirms this both in the Old and the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah says, the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And Peter echoes this in 1 Peter. He says, for Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. Lisa and I used to live in Fullerton. It was the home of our church, and it was also the home of a much bigger, more famous church where the pastor there was preaching every week, and his name was Chuck Swindoll from Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll writes these words about Barabbas. He says, Barabbas missed his cross because another man took his place. Barabbas hung on the cross, or I'm sorry, Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross that was intended for Barabbas, just as Jesus hung on the cross in our place as well. And like Barabbas, we too were dead in our trespasses and sins until Jesus' crucified body released the blood of the atoning sacrifice. Like Barabbas, we too were condemned to die until Jesus took our place. And like Barabbas, by faith, we too have been set free. And that is a freedom that lasts for all eternity. Amen? You see, Jesus Messiah, Jesus the Son of God, because of his love for us, he took our place, us rebel criminals. Jesus didn't have to do it. Why did he go to the cross? Why did he resolutely, months earlier, set his face for Jerusalem? Why did he not step back? Why didn't he run away? Why didn't he save himself? Because of his love for you and me. And how are we supposed to respond to that kind of love? How are we supposed to react to that kind of grace? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, he says these words, and he died for all, talking about Jesus. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You know, we sang that praise song earlier in the service. It says, what can I say? What can I do? All I can say and all I can do is offer this heart, O God, completely to you. That's what God wants us from each one of us. And I don't know if you've already given your life, if you've committed your life to follow Jesus, if you've trusted him to save you, then you too, like Barabbas, you've already missed your cross. But if you do not yet know Christ as your Lord, if you have not yet committed to Him to be your Savior and to follow Him all the days of your life, I have good news for you. Today could be your day. Today could be the day that you miss your cross, that you miss out on God's judgment and separation from Him. You too can join the company of the redeemed this day if you're ready to take that step. Are you ready? Are you ready to say yes to Jesus? I invite you to do so now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. With our heads all bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to make it very clear, if you have not yet committed your life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, He invites you to come and follow Him, the one who is victorious over sin and death, the one who gave His life for you, the one who allows you to miss your cross, your judgment. If you're ready to say that, if you're ready to commit your life, then I invite you to just pray along with me. Just say words something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for Your great love for even me, so that You died in my place so that I could live forever. And Lord, today I want You to know that I love You because You love me first, and I'm giving my life to You. I'm accepting You into my heart. I'm asking You to become the Savior and the Lord of my life. And I'm declaring today that I'm going to follow You as faithfully as I know how all the rest of the days of my life, so that I won't just have Your presence through Your Holy Spirit while I'm here on earth, but so that I can be with You forever in a wonderful place that You call heaven. That's what I want, Lord. And so I say yes to You today. Come in and give me eternal life. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I hope that if you're here today and you prayed that prayer for the first time, that we want to rejoice with you. We want to celebrate that moment with you. We have some resources to offer you. What I want to say too, also, come on up, worship team. What I want to say to you is this is a great step of faith that you're taking, but it's not the last step of your life of faith. It could be one of the middle steps. Maybe you've taken some steps before, taking steps toward Jesus before today, but you can keep going, and we want to help you keep going. We have resources for you. Please come and talk to me after the service, or talk to Lisa back in the lobby area. We'd love to give you those resources. The very next step that Jesus actually said is, now that you believe and follow me, now that I've died for you and you say you're going to live for me, I want you to do the very next thing I command you. And the very next step of obedience to our Lord Jesus is to publicly declare our faith and our loyalty to Him in the waters of baptism. So if you haven't been baptized yet as a believer in water, then I invite you to take that step. Take that welcome card, fill it out, and say, I'm ready to be baptized. We'll make arrangements with you. It could be next week. It could be on Easter Sunday that you actually get baptized. I was baptized on Easter Sunday many years ago. In the light of eternity, though, it's really not that long. 'Twas one short life, and our life will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. So take those steps of faith. Keep walking in faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing this worship song together. Will you stand?
So I'm going to throw Diane a complete curveball and change my mind about the last song. Can we do that, Diane? So can we do Your Love Never Fails? We didn't do it this service. Actually, we did the stand. We're going to do Your Love Never Fails. I just feel like we need a little more energy.
other side. Your love never fails.
And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good.
Song. Hey, before we go, I want you to do three things this week. First off, as we said, there's so many great details in the gospel stories, so many characters, so much richness to see just how wonderful, how awesome a Savior, the Lord Jesus, that we have. I want you to read the last couple of chapters of each of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So do that for number one. Number two, if you are here in the area on Friday night, I want you to make it back here. Invite somebody to come with you at 7 p.m. for Christ in the Passover. That's going to be a wonderful time of teaching and understanding the Jewish background of the Passover and how it relates to us and how Christ is in the Passover through and through, even back in the Jewish festival time. And then number three, I want you to grab some of those invite cards, those perfectly sized insight cards, 3x5s, you know, fit right in your pocket. And remember to be back here for Easter Sunday, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it says in the book of Acts, you'll receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses, right? So invite somebody, speak well of the Lord Jesus. Invite somebody back here to come with us to celebrate the wonderful victory of our Savior Jesus over sin and death. We're going to say he is risen next Sunday, and let's have this house be full. Amen? God bless you all. Have a great week.